verses 38 through 44. Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Roll away the stone. Stones were part of the landscape and part of the culture in ancient Israel. Huge stones were used for major building projects like the walls of Jerusalem and the temple to God there. Very large stones were often used to cover the mouths of caves that were used as tombs to bury the dead. And stones probably about the size of a baseball or even a softball were used to throw at people, to stone them to death if they had been disobedient to God's commands as given through the Old Covenant to the Jews. All of these different stones played important roles in the life and ministry and even in the death and resurrection of Jesus. As Mark chapter 16 opens, Jesus has been arrested, he's been tried, he's been convicted of heresy against God. He's been tortured, and then he's been crucified until he died. And then he was buried in a borrowed tomb, a cave that was hewn out to be a family burial plot. It had never been used before. And then that cave was sealed by rolling a large stone over the front of it. Mark 16, verses 1 through 4, tells us, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they ask each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away." Why does Mark point out that this was a very large stone, obviously too heavy for the women to move? It seems that the answer is that it would take some strong men or the power of God to move this stone. Verses 5 through 8, though, tell us what their curiosity led them to find out. Mark goes on to say, "As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." As Matthew tells this story, he identifies this young man as an angel. So why were these women alarmed? Well, first off, the stone had been rolled away. Secondly, Jesus was not in the tomb. And third, an angel was in the tomb. Jesus could not have rolled the stone away because Jesus had died. And after all, there's no way that from the inside of that tomb anyone could have done that. No one else could have removed Jesus because there was an armed guard that had been posted outside to make sure that nobody would. And this large, heavy stone could only have been rolled away by God. But there's another substantial reason why these women at the tomb were alarmed. An angel was there, a messenger of God. Angels show up as messengers of God in a variety of places throughout the Scripture, but we see a couple of them right early on in the New Testament annals. For example, we read about an angel who appeared to Zechariah, announcing the birth of his son, who would be John the Baptist. And we read that Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. Very soon after, in Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 29, an angel appeared to a young woman, a virgin by the name of Mary, to announce that she would have a son by the name of Jesus. And the Scripture says that she was greatly troubled. Let me just ask you, if an angel appeared to you suddenly, wouldn't you be alarmed? I would be scared out of my wits. I mean, angels just don't show up every day, do they? And let's be really honest about this. Don't we have a hard time believing in such a being as an angel? I mean, we read about them, and we want to believe in them, but it's almost like it's some kind of mythology, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like what Danny was talking about this morning, ghosts. I mean, we want to believe it because the Bible says it, but at the same time, we're not sure. But if an angel shows up, we're scared to death. I want to suggest that there's a third reason why these women were alarmed. They were told by this angel that Jesus had arisen from the dead. Why were they alarmed? After all, they had heard Jesus predict this on more than one occasion. And yet, trembling, bewildered, and fearful, they ran, they fled. You know, that word fled has a special meaning to it. It doesn't just mean that somebody's run. It means they've run for their life. You read in the Old Testament about people in armed conflict, and the ones who were losing fled. They didn't run, they fled. They ran for their lives. These women were scared to death. Some things were going on that they did not understand at all. And so they ran, fearful, trembling, bewildered, not understanding any of this. But other followers of Jesus also had a difficult time believing this. When you look on in verses 9 through 13 of this same chapter, Mark tells us when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Why didn't they believe that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead? They said that they believed that Jesus was God's son. Did they not believe that God could do this? Repeatedly, Jesus had told his apostles that he would be arrested, mistreated, and killed, and that 3 days later, he would arise to life. They had seen him bring dead people back to life. And they had heard him say that all that he taught and all that he did came from his Father. But even so, they could not understand his predictions of arrest, of execution, and resurrection because they had a different belief of what he would do. But God was faithful to his eternal purposes, plans, priorities, prophecies, and people. King David said of God, "He is faithful in all he does. And later, in Psalm 145, David said of God, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." The Jewish people knew that God would always do what he said he would do. They could count on him. Whether it was blessings or whether it was curses, if God said he would do it, he would do it. He would do it in his time according to his wisdom, but he would do it. Through his prophets, God foretold key elements in the life of the saving king who he would send to earth, this Messiah or Christ. And that included the Messiah's resurrection from the dead. Later on, Jesus' follower Paul opened his letter to Christians in Rome by assuring them Christ Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Responding to his followers' disbelief in his resurrection, Mark 16 and verse 14 says, "Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had arisen." I don't think I would have wanted to have been one of those apostles on that particular occasion, would you? I would not have wanted to have been rebuked by the Son of God. Jesus' followers had a difficult time believing in his resurrection because their hearts were hardened to their ideas and against any other ideas. Zechariah chapter 7 and verses 8 through 12 says this to Israel. "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other." But they refused to pay attention. They stubbornly turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words of the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. Boy, if I didn't want to be rebuked by the Son of God, I would not want to anger Lord God the Father, would you? I would not want to be these people of whom these things were said, would you? I would not want to be in that condition. I would not want to be in that broken relationship with God. I would want to find out what I had done wrong, what I'd gotten wrong, and get right with God. Jesus accused the religious leaders of his time of having stubborn hearts as hard as flint. In other words, their hearts were like stone. When God prophesied Israel's return from exile, he said in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verses 19 through 20, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep them. They will be my people, and I will be their God." You see, something fundamental had to happen with these God's people for them to have a relationship with him, for them to be his people and he their God. And that was the hard hearts had to be removed. And God says he's the only one who could do that. That's kind of a scary thing to think about, isn't it? If you and I consider ourselves God's people, we really have to consider and examine, evaluate the condition of our hearts. Like their forefathers, Jesus' followers needed to roll away the stone from their hearts. They needed to be softened toward Him in order to forego their will and take on His will for them. They needed to stop seeing things as they had. They needed to see life here and hereafter from God's viewpoint. They needed to realize that position, power, prosperity, and possessions in this life had no real value. They needed to see that national independence and superiority were ungodly ideals. They needed to understand that loving God and their fellow humans as God commanded was the most valuable thing that they could do. And that being united with God as His children and having the openness to everything that God had to give them was the most valuable thing that they could have. Do we see life like Jesus' early followers did, like these apostles did, who find it so hard to believe what God can do, so hard to understand God's faithfulness, so hard to see life from a different vantage point? Are we focused on ourselves, on our position, on our power, on our prosperity, on our position in life, and on our comfort? Are we more concerned about matters of politics and law and economics than we are about being Christ-like? Are we, like Jesus' friend Martha, worried and upset about many things when only one thing is needed, the one thing that will not be taken away? Like Jesus' close followers, does God need to roll away the stone from our hearts? It was only after Jesus rebuked His followers for their lack of faith and for their stubborn refusal to believe in His resurrection that He could call them into His service. God cannot use you and me until we truly have faith in Him to be able to do anything, and until we have softened our hearts to Him and to our fellow human beings. So, Mark 16, verses 15 through 20 tells us, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His words by the signs that accompanied them. Jesus had the stone rolled away from Lazarus' grave, and then He gave him new life. The stone must be rolled away from our hearts before we can have new life in Christ. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Do you believe Jesus is God's Son by way of His resurrection? Let God roll away the stone from your heart and be united with Him today by coming forward right now as we stand and sing this song.